today I have come to turn this experience, come on, into some movement and into some action. So I know it's like 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning on conference week, but I haven't come to play nice today. I've come to propel us, to mobilize us, come on, to do something with what we've been given today in our lives. Amen? So with conferences, you can kind of have like the afterglow. And the afterglow is where you just kind of, God is so good. I love him. He's been so good to me. And isn't that the truth? But here's the problem, is if it stays as just an afterglow, not much is going to change. So we don't need an afterglow, we need an aftergo. We need to go and do something now. Come on, with what the Lord has deposited in our heart. And so I'm believing that God is going to mobilize us today, because the touch is for a task, the marking is for a mission, and God has a unique, come on, call and purpose for everyone to play their part in today. And so I've found that when it comes to God encounters, that the breakthrough is in the follow through. It's in what we do afterwards. Not just what happens in the moment, but what we do afterwards. So I realized when I was preparing for this morning that I am once again preaching about Peter and fish. And I promise you that I do have other content. I'm not a one-trick pony. It's just every time I pray, this is what God's been bringing me back to this week. So can you handle just one more fishy sermon? Luke chapter 5. Verses 4 to 11, thank you. I will bring on the fish. Dan Frecker, you are the most responsive person in this church in both the good and bad times. I love you, and we're going to have some fun later in this sermon, just pre-warning you. Luke 5, 4 to 11 says this. When he, speaking of Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish. Simon Peter replied, Master, we worked hard all night, this is the whinging one, to the point of exhaustion and caught nothing with our nets, but at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, amen, and their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats with fish so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish. I believe that's prophetic for you today, C3 Powerhouse. You're going to be absolutely astounded, completely astounded at the catch of fish and new souls coming into this church over the next 12 months. I feel to prophesy that you're about to see a wave of new souls the next 12 months. Mark it down in your calendar. It's coming. They were completely astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon, have no fear. From now on, you'll be catching men. After that, they brought their boats to land. They left everything and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him and following his example. So what is Jesus saying to his disciples in this moment? He's saying, how you just use your boat is how I'm about to use your life. You're going to use your life as a vessel for seeing people come to know me and the life that only I bring. But not only that, what just happened with those fish is going to start happening with people. You're going to bring so many people to the Lord that you won't be able to contain the catch. And I hear the word of the Lord ringing out over you today, Powerhouse, to get ready for a catch. Come on, to get ready for your family to come to Christ. Get ready for new people walking through these doors. Get ready to add services. Get ready to grow. Get ready to expand. Why? Come on, because there is fresh fish coming. If you believe it, say amen. So the title of my message today is simply this: will you bring your boat? Will you bring your boat? Just turn to someone today and tell them, will you bring your boat? Will you bring your boat? Just turn to someone else, tell them, you got a big boat. When they'd done this, Luke 5:7. When they'd done this, I want to just zoom in on this for a minute. They caught a great number of fish and their nets were at the point of breaking. Now listen, So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. So Jesus gives Peter a word, let down your nets, there's going to be a catch. Peter does what he is instructed, but his nets on his own were not enough. Peter needed people who were willing to bring their boat in order to pull in the catch. Now, this isn't a coincidence because Peter, we know, was the first pastor of the first church. So this is a prophetic symbol of what every pastor needs in order to steward a revival. Every pastor, every Peter needs partners who are willing to bring their boats in order to see the revival come to pass. And if I can just speak on behalf of your pastors today, your pastors need you to bring your boat. I mean, their boats are amazing, but they don't have enough on their own to catch what God is calling them to catch. This move of God is not going to happen because of one or two anointed people. It's going to happen because an army of people rise up and bring their boats together to say, we are going to bring in a catch, come on, in Melbourne and on the Sunshine Coast together to see a revival come, come on, in our time. So my question today is, will you bring your boat? Listen, the size of the catch was not limited by the amount of willing fish. There were so many fish that the nets are literally ripping. The fish are doing just fine. Thank you very much. There wasn't a shortage of willing fish. There was a shortage of available boats. I want to tell you today, the size of the catch is not limited by the amount of willing fish, but by the amount of available boats. So my question today is your boat available? You know, most Christians have this false belief that people just they just don't want to find Jesus. They're just not willing. You know, people just don't want Jesus anymore. It's 2024. Look at the Olympics. Oh, my God. Like, people just aren't interested in coming to our church. People just don't want our message. Can I tell you, it is so not true. I'll tell you, this was proven to me earlier in the year at our church. One Sunday morning, we had the weirdest thing happen. There's a lady who walks her dog past our church every week. And this isn't any dog. This is a chihuahua. This is a demon dog. This is... But these things are from the pit of hell, Pastor John. They, and it's got a jacket, it's got bling, it's there. Yeah. Every week she walks this chihuahua past our church. Not a Christian, not a believer. And one day the chihuahua pulls her into the car park. And she thinks, maybe I'm just going to go to church. So she walks, I kid you not, she walks into our service, led by a chihuahua. Encounters Jesus and gets saved. Now, this presented all kinds of problems as the pastor because the dog led her to Christ. So for about 8 months, there was a chihuahua sitting on a seat in my church. And I didn't know what to do with it because that chihuahua has brought more people to Christ than half the people in our church. If a demon dog can bring people to church, what's our excuse? Jesus said, it's not true. Even the dogs know it's not true. God is waiting on our boats to become available for his use. So the first thing I want to tell you today is you need to do this. You need to make your boat available. Make your boat available. Now here's the thing, is where this story took place was a harbour, and there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of boats. So there wasn't a lack of boats. The boats are there. There's a lack of available boats. There's no lack of boats in the church. There's just a lack of available boats. The problem with so many believers isn't that they're not in church, and that it's just that their boats aren't available. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about being the church today. I'm talking about what Jesus was talking about, using the boat of your life
to see people come to find Jesus. So I'm not asking today, do you have a boat? I'm asking today, is your boat available to take that which you have received at this conference to the world around you? Come on, in order that the world might find Christ. So have you made your boat available to people who need what you've got? Are you just having coffee with Christians? I tell you, you get really depressed if you do that long enough. Like, if all you're doing is having coffee with Christians, first of all, you're going to get so weird so fast. Like some of it is just simple. You just got to make some room in your life. You've got to become available for people. So many believers think, you know, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. When Peter's boat was full of fish and he called over the partners, and he's just, the boat is like full. And I look around this room, the boat is full. So we need more boats available. Yeah. Now, when he called the partners over, do you think he interviewed them when they brought the boats over? Like, excuse me, before we ascertain whether your boat can carry the fish, can I just see how polished the decks are? Sorry, can I just see your boat license there, mate? We need some help. I just want to make sure you're qualified. Before I ask you for some help with just the boat, so what kind of engine are you running? I just want to make... No! There was no interview. There was no qualification other than availability. Some of you are waiting till you know enough, have been in church enough, have enough degrees under your belt. Stop waiting to make yourself available. Now is the time. God wants to use you now. So make your boat, come on, available. The second thing is we've got to make room in our boat. Can I please have my boat up here? We've got to make room in our boat. For some of us, the problem isn't that our boat isn't available. It's that our boat is too full. So I'm just going to ask my friends to come up. I think there's some people that have been organised. And I don't... Now, you are one of them. Dan Freckett. Josh, you're not getting out of this either. Come up. Okay, now, anyone else who was also... Toby, come on, come on. Who else? Sam, welcome. Anyone? Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think we could do more than that. This is going to be absolutely ridiculous. Teresa, come on. Guys, this is completely untested. I just saw Pastor John had a hammer yesterday, so I thought, I've got to bring a bow. So, I need everyone... I don't know how... Teresa, can you sit at the back? Okay. Yep. That's it. Don't tick it. Okay, now this is going to be very awkward. I didn't think about this at all. Just jump. I need everybody to jump in except for Dan Frecker. You stand over there. Everybody jump in. Just sit. Sit in. Wonderful. Yep. Beautiful. It's fantastic. It's going very well. Yes. And yes, Sam, you can fit. There's heaps of room. That's it. Beautiful. Wonderful. You can sit there. I feel like we just need one more. Just who's one more young lad I can get? Okay, David Kraut. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. Come up. Okay, wonderful. This is perfect. You can sit right at the front. It's a great day in church. So, the problem... The problem is there's so many problems with this. Let's imagine for a moment that poor Dan Frecker, he's lost. He hasn't found Jesus. He's very lost. He just look lost. Look, I don't have Christ yet. Let the light out of your eyes.
Such a bad actor.
No. Now, let's imagine for a moment that Dan's salvation is in the works. The Spirit of God is moving upon him. And he comes to a Christian boat, a Christian life. But when he comes, he finds that this life is so full of other stuff that there is no room for him.
Now, look sad because there's no room for you.
It's too full of Netflix subscriptions. every night of every week, you're just binging on ungodly bad stuff. And there's no room in your boat. You come to church, but you leave 5 minutes early because God forbid you'd ever have to talk to a new person. You come to work, and when it's lunchtime, you don't ever talk to the other staff. And you call it introversion, but really you just don't care enough to spend time with them. And this one, he's the worst of all. All he does is drink coffee with Christians. And that's actually our lot in life as pastors. I'm really enjoying rubbing your head. And so we come, there's people starving for the truth, starving for the word, starving to get into our life that we might share Christ with them. But our lives are so full that there's no room for the lost. So let me tell you what you've got to do. You've got to cancel some Netflix subscriptions. You got to make some nights free in the week. You got to open your home for a connect group. Come on, somebody. You got to rise up and make a decision to start spending time with people who aren't here, but people who are out there who need to be here. We got to make some room in our boats. Jump in, Dan. Someone give him an oar. Come on, baby. And now he's right in that river of life. You guys can take a seat. Thank you. This is the most youth pastor message I've ever preached on a Sunday. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And at Powerhouse, his last words are our first priority. So you got to make some room with your boat. Third thing you need to know today is you got to make a move with your boat. You got to make a move with your boat. You got to do something with what God's done in you. Who knows, sometimes you just got to make a move. I'll never forget the first time I kissed my wife. I was so nervous. Can I tell you a quick one? People with colds tell me that they often get a tickle in their throat before they cough. I don't get that. It just happens. True story. I went to make a move. And the lips were locked, like vacuum sealed, and a cough took place. And Ben. Sometimes you don't know what's in you until you make a move. Here's what's so remarkable about this story. God didn't move those fish until they moved their boats. We're waiting for the fish to move. People to ask us about our faith, ask us about our church. And they're not moving, so we keep our boats in the harbour. Here's what I've found. You don't wait for the fish to move. You move your boat and God will move the fish. Move your boat in your workplace. Move your boat in your university. Move your boat in your school and watch what he does. You know, the thing about fishing boats is that they're built for fishing. Now, a fishing boat is built for fishing, but it can stay in the harbour. It's still a boat, but it's only living up to 10% of its potential. And there's a lot of believers. We're boats, we're in the harbour, but that's not what we were made for. We're made for more than that. I love this quote from John Shedd. He says, a ship in the harbour is safe. But that's not what ships were made for. God made the boat of your life to be about saving souls and making disciples. And this is not the job of a few select spiritual elite. This is the job for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you a boat. Make it available. Make a move. Try something. Do something and watch him respond. You were made to move. I want to show you a picture of this boat. You might have heard of it, called the Titanic. And largest boat in the world at the time. And the story goes, they believed it was unsinkable. They were so arrogant, the designer actually said, even God can't sink it. Wow. We all know the story. On its maiden voyage, it hits an iceberg, and in the middle of the night, in icy cold water, it broke in two, had 2,000 passengers, and 1,500 died. Wow. The thing that not many people know was the Titanic took a long time to sink. It actually took 14 hours to sink. In the beginning, the captain sounded the alarm and said, evacuate, you've got to evacuate, everybody get into a lifeboat. But the ship was sinking very slowly. So people didn't notice, they didn't care, they thought it was safe. It's too cold in that water, I'm not getting in a lifeboat. After all, the ship's unsinkable, right? You see, the Titanic needed 48 lifeboats for 2,000 passengers, but it was only designed with 20. Again, the arrogance. The lifeboats started leaving, but they were leaving half full. So when the first lifeboat left, the capacity of each lifeboat was 65 passengers. Many of them, historians discovered, only had 12 in them. No one wanted to get into the lifeboat. Most people chose to stay on the sinking ship. So there's 1,500 people, the ship goes under in the water, freezing and drowning, and you'd think the lifeboats would come back and rescue them, right? But they didn't. They could hear the cries of the people, but they didn't come back. Wow. History records that one lifeboat captain desperately wanted to go back. One of his lifeboats had 12 people in it. He desperately wanted to get back, but he was overruled by the other passengers who said, it's too dangerous for us to go back. So they sat in the boat listening to the cries and the screams of people going under the water because they were too cowardly to go back for those who were lost. Only one lifeboat, history records, came back, while all the others remained mostly empty. You know, when I heard that, I got really upset. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, my church is like that. See, the church is the lifeboat. And we're called to go and bring people in. But it's too hard, it's too dark, it's too scary. If we don't go, then who will? We planted our church in the city. We planted at the university. Why? Because all the other churches have gone too dark, too scary. I thought the church was meant to be in the dark and scary places. I thought that's where we were meant to go. People are stuck in the bondage of our sin, their sin, and they need us to go. 2 years after the Titanic sunk, there was actually another sinking story that most people never heard of. A boat called the Empress of Ireland. Okay, I'll show you this one, the Empress of Ireland. On its journey from Canada to London, out of 1,400 passengers, over 1,000 died. They only rescued 400, but the sinking of this ship was different. This one happened within 14 minutes. The ship was completely underwater, and they didn't have time to lower the lifeboat. Wow. On board, there were a lot of rich people, celebrities, but there were also on this ship 170 Salvation Army youth leaders who were on their way to a conference in London. But praise God, their cabin was the one right next to the life jacket cupboard. So all of them managed to get life jackets. They were very lucky. But when all the survivors were rescued, and they were looking for the 170 youth leaders, you know what happened? They couldn't find any of them. So what happened to these 170 Salvo youth leaders? Every one of them died. And they're puzzled. They're like, what happened? They were right by the life jackets. So finally, they got to the bottom of it by having a meeting with the survivors. And every survivor's story was the same. Listen to this. They said there was a young person, a young man, a young lady who swam up to me, took off their life jacket and gave it to me. And after they'd given away their life jackets, they knew they had no more time and the water was too cold. So history records that they swam around to people asking them, are you a Christian? And started leading them to Christ. These are teenagers. And praying for people. There's one man, a survivor, who told his story. He's this macho guy, and he's in the water waiting for his life to be over. and a young 17-year-old girl swims up to him, takes off her life jacket and gives it to this man. He's so grateful. I mean, he takes it and he comes to his senses and goes, hold on, what am I doing? I just took a life jacket from a 17-year-old girl. And he said, I can't take this. And the girl was upset and asked him, are you a Christian? He said, no. She said, are you ready to become a Christian? And he said, no. Then she said, don't you dare take my life jacket then, because you need it more than I do. And this 17-year-old girl handed him her life jacket. She said this, this is the quote, sir, I will die better than you. If I die, I'll go to heaven, but when you die, you go to hell. So you have to live. The man recounts this with tears in his eyes. He said, I was saved twice that night, once from the water and once from hell, because somebody decided. To save my life. And that night, he became a Christian. C3 Powerhouse, today I know this might not be a sexy, easy to hear message, but I love you enough to tell you it is time for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and make our boats available to take what the Lord has done here for the harvest that's out there. Far be it from us that we would look at the problems of our world and shelter in our lifeboat, when God has called us, come on, to make our boats available to the lost and to the hurting. I'm here to tell you today, no one else is coming. It's you and it's me. And I feel this so strongly today. I felt this as I was praying for you this morning. There is about to be an influx of first-generation Christians in this church. And it's not going to happen just because of big events. Big events are amazing. It's going to happen because I see hundreds of individuals rising up with the heart of both Salvation Army youth leaders saying, my boat is available for my pastor. My pastor needs my boat. Here I am. It might not be polished. It might not be comfortable. It might not be easy, but here I am. Pastor John, Pastor Danielle, you need me to open up my house for a connect group? Let's go. There's room in the lifeboat. You need me to come and spend some time with lost people? Here we go. There's room in the lifeboat. You need me to hang around 10 minutes after and talk to a new person? There's room in the lifeboat. Here I am. There's room in my boat. Church, it's time to wake up out of our slumber. It's time to wake up out of our spiritual coma and say yes again. Oh, lift your hands over this place tonight. Let a soul-winning revival break out in this church. Father, I declare a youth revival, a young adult revival. I declare over this church a workplace revival, industry revival, family revival. Today, Lord, we say yes. Open up your lips and just tell the Lord today, my boat is available. My boat is available. If you can use anyone, use me. My boards might not be polished, but use me. I might not have a Bible college degree, but use me. Father, we pray today for the Sunshine Coast, for Melbourne. Let the people come. Let the lost come. And let an army of willing sons and daughters rise up, rise up, rise up to see souls saved, disciples made, cities won, and nations changed. We call it forth in the name of Jesus now, 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 in your mighty name. Lift your hands, Powerhouse, today. And let's sing together. Come on, let's sing.